You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily local sports podcast network. I am Chris Manning, your host and the site manager over at fearlessword.com, SB Nation Cleveland Cavaliers blog. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review, especially on Apple Podcasts, is the best way to support the show. And you can find this show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook as well at CWM Writes. On today's show, we are going to get into three things to look for in Cavs-Mavs. That is a Saturday night game in Cleveland, one of the very last games before the All-Star break, one of the last two games before next Thursday's trade deadline, and the Cavs will not have a number of players back. We're going to get into that specifically, but it is a 7:30 tip. Luka Doncic comes in. No Kristaps Porzingis, obviously, for Dallas because he is still hurt and will not likely be playing this year if you have seen some of the reporting out there. My first thing to look for in this game is going to be Jetty Osman and how well he's played recently. Colin Sexton is someone I wrote about in the preview. I think how he plays in this game will just be something to watch because of what Doncic provides, these different matchup flexibility issues for other teams. But with Jetty in particular, he has been playing fantastic of late. He, I think, in the last five or so games has probably been the most impressive Cavalier. You're seeing a guy who is playing like a modern 3D player. He's getting to the rim. He's scoring 20 points a game. He's shooting the three better than he has in any stretching amount of time. And that's what we've really been, I think, been waiting for Jetty. That's been the hope for him, that he would have some breakout moments. There have been these little flashes. He started off the year, obviously very fantastic, but he's really picked up the last five games. Looking at his stats, according to NBA.com/stats, here are Jetty's stats over the last five games, which does include the Cavs' two wins. He's playing 35.8 minutes a night. He's averaging 21 points a game on 14.2 field goal attempts per game. He's shooting 53.5% from the field overall. He's shooting seven threes a game, making 45.7% of them. His free throw shooting isn't good. He's only at 56.5% on a little under five attempts per game over the stretch, but he's averaging five rebounds, 3.6 assists. The Cavs have played, I think, generally better when he's kind of been energetic like this. And if you overall look at his shot chart in this stretch, his last five games, you're seeing a guy who is above average, particularly in one side of the floor. If you look at his shot chart on NBA.com/stats, he's roughly 3% better than the average player in both corners, which is a really good sign for threes, on the right break, which is good at the rim, and he's not taking as many mid-range shots. That's a really good thing. This is a modern breakdown. This is a modern-looking player. Still some little kinks, still some little defensive issues, still some things you want to see iron out from him, but he's just looked a lot better. And this is an interesting game for him because he could be asked to do a number of things in this game. If you look at what starting lineup we might see from Dallas, it's a tad bit unclear because they obviously just had this big trade. DeAndre Jordan's not there. Wesley Matthews isn't there. There are some questions about what type of lineups Rick Carlisle is really going to have available. But if you look at a possibility of Luka Doncic, Dorian Finney-Smith, Harrison Barnes, Maxi Kleber, and Salah Mirdji, there are weird instances there. If he could basically guard any of those guys, and it could make some sense. It's a bit tough because if the Cavs don't have everyone, they're going to run out that same Sexton, Burks, Hood, Osman, Zizic starting five, and that sort of means Jetty's going to have to guard Maxi Kleber, who is 6'11". He has obviously guarded guys like Paul Millsap, guys like Lauri Markkanen over these last few games. So that is not really, I'm rooting for him to guard someone who's bigger than him in some way, but it'd be more interesting to see him guard, in particular, Doncic or Barnes. I would almost expect you're going to see Alec Burks on Doncic. Maybe they try to hide Sexton on Finney Smith with Hood drawing Barnes. I would like to personally see Jetty get some time on Luka and on Barnes because those are the two best scorers on Dallas. Those are the guys that have the ball in their hands a lot, and they're more his size. Specifically, Doncic is a lot more on Osmond's size profile. Now, if the Cavs were fully healthy, I think this would be easier to do. But if you heard Larry Drew talk on Friday, basically made it seem like there will be no David Nwaba on Saturday and there will be no Kevin Love on Saturday. Love being for sure, it looks like there's, quote, no timetable for David Nwaba's return either. And you'll hear from Nwaba and Drew Scrums on this show in between our different segments. If they were back, this would make things easier for Jetty, but I think he'll have to go to Kleber. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if the Cavs could play some bigger lineups to combat the Medry and Kleber size, because it certainly has to, I think, play here. Maybe we see some Channing in this game, bumping Jetty down to the three in some lineups. But Jetty's been awesome of late. He's deservingly going to be in that Rising Stars game on All-Star Weekend, playing on Dirk's team with Luka on the International Rising Stars team. He's been awesome lately. Can he keep it up? Can he continue to play at the level he has? And can he really build on what has been the best stretch of his season? Again, go look at that shot chart. Go look at what he's doing. He's shooting just in a way that is just so much more encouraging. Indicates that he's starting to figure some things out, that he's taking better shots, in particular just a modern 3-and-D largely player, the fewer and fewer mid-range shots, a lot of threes, a lot of shots at the rim, getting to the line, and we'll see if he can keep that up. The three-point number and his overall shooting is likely to come down just a bit, but Jetty's been awesome late. It's been good to see him running into form. The Cavs needed that. They needed that shot in the arm, and let's see how he looks against Dallas and against Doncic, who I hope to see him guard, and I hope to see him spend some time guarding Harris and Barnes in this game as well. So Jetty is certainly my big key in this game, and we'll see what happens with him. But you're going to hear first from David Nwaba on what's going on with him right now, from his scrum at the Cavs' Friday meet availability, and then we're going to be back to get into my second thing to watch in this game. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
There's no timetable for you to get back, is it hard to be patient when you're this close after being out for so long?
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I've been out about 6 weeks. Just want to get back out there, contribute to this team. I feel good, so hopefully that time soon.
Larry said you were hitting on all cylinders today, 6 out of 6 from three. How's the shot feeling, and how are you feeling physically?
I've been working on it, with the ankle injury. First thing I was able to do was just go out there and shoot it before running. So just spot up shots, just working on just adding arc to my shot, and I've been showing a little bit of improvements in it.
And we are back. Okay, so there you heard David Nwaba. Does not sound exactly like he's going to be playing in this game, or will perhaps come back Tuesday. Larry Drew's been very vague about a lot of this, but it does sound like he is inching to get back, and that would be really big for the Cavs to not only get Kevin Love back, but to get Nwaba back, who is by far the team's best non-ball defender, provides some really nice depth up front and can play the four spot a little bit. If you heard Larry Drew about a week ago, I asked him at a press conference about what he's seen from Jetty playing the four, and he said it's sort of actually unfair for Jetty to be playing up that position. It's a lot to ask of him right now and where he's at body-wise, so it would be a big deal to get Nwaba back. But my second thing to watch in this game is I really wonder how the Cavs are going to approach Luka. So if you have not had a chance to watch him this year, if you have not had a chance to watch many Mavs games, which is understandable if you don't have a lot of time or just not a big NBA guy or girl, you're just a Cavs fan. Luka is incredible. When you watch him, and if you're lucky enough to go to the game or spend Saturday evening watching this game on TV or catching the highlights or watching it on Sunday or whatever, you're going to see what a transformative young player looks like. If you look at where Dallas was before getting Luka, it was not pretty. They paid a lot for Harrison Barnes. They, you know, struck out on DeAndre a couple years ago. Dirk, you know, we didn't know when he was going to play the season. You know, Dennis Smith was fine as a rookie, and now he's obviously not on the team anymore, but was not blowing anyone out of the water. And going to get Luka and getting a guy that is just already incredible at 19 years old and has all these just really, really modern, super skilled things and is just so fun, has a great personality, is very giftable, all these things. They transform the franchise. Luka is everything you would want out of a young player in the modern NBA. An incredible passer. His ability to read defenses, to read body control, to read hips, and force guys to go to certain spots is just incredible. He makes guys just look silly all the time in that regard. He has that incredible step back that looks like he should. It's like slow-mo, but guys just fall for it. He makes the right reads all the time. He is a decent defender, even despite he's young. He's gotten into better shape. He's super fun. He's super competitive, and he goes for it. And he's just what is the catalyst for the Mavs being interesting again. And you get him in Porzingis, and like you have this foundation to a successful team. This is that is the type of player the Cavs are chasing. So when you hear Trevor Magnotti and I talk about Jared Culver or Zion or RJ Barrett or whoever on our Draft Friday shows, or you know, you wonder why are we talking about the draft so much? That is the type of thing the Cavs need. They're not going to be free agency players. It is unlikely they would be able to acquire the type of star player at some point and then convince that player to stay. That just isn't the path I think that makes sense for the Cavs. What they need is to get in the position to draft Luka, to get a guy that can transform them. That's the point of being bad, and you're going to see that up close in person on Saturday. Now, I do want to see how the Cavs in this game actually do approach him. As mentioned in the previous segment, I don't think we're going to see Jetty guard him a bunch, which is sort of unfortunate. But what we've seen the Cavs do in recent games is you have him, Larry Drew has had Alec Burks sort of guard the opposing team's best player right now. Burks is in a totally useless defender, but he's also not good. You can just sort of see he's not also just not super, I would say, locked in on that end at this point. He's fine, but he doesn't have the size, he doesn't have the quickness, he doesn't have the just sort of the ability to be that as a defender. He is 6'6", and he's a little bit bulkier than what we've seen from Jetty so far this year. He's just a little stronger than Jetty because he's a bit older, has a little bit more sort of strength to him, so that should help against Luka, who is very strong, has a good post-up game. But the Cavs are overall just really bad on defense. The opponents are scoring 8 points more per 100 possessions when we see Burks on the floor, according to Basketball Reference, so he's not going to help stop Luka. I wonder if what kind of traps the Cavs are going to throw at him, and I wonder if Larry Drew has different ideas for things to throw at him, if Michael Longobardi has options to throw at him, because I don't think Burks is going to be up for it. Problem is, you look at the roster right now, with Nwaba would sort of be the guy I would just sick him on him and just worry about the rest, but Jetty's going to have to defend a bigger player. You know, Rodney Hood is going to have to defend someone like Barnes. Sexton should not be defending him. Clarkson obviously shouldn't be defending him. There aren't a ton of great options, so Burks just sort of is going to get that job, and we'll see what happens. On the other end, who Luka guards to me is really interesting, because if you look at how that starting lineup might look, he's probably going to guard Colin Sexton. So can Colin Sexton do anything there to really make Luka uncomfortable? Can he use his speed, which is his best attribute, to make Luka uncomfortable in any way? And if not, like, what is Sexton going to do? Can he, you know, maybe hit some threes over Luka? Are there just little things that Colin Sexton can do to sort of make that positional imbalance work in his favor in a way that we might not expect it to? I would really hope Colin can make some spot up threes and push the ball. That's really, I think, the thing that will help him against Luka, who is listed as questionable, by the way, but you would hope that he does play. In addition to that, look, this will be the last time likely that you see Dirk Nowitzki at Cleveland playing against the Cavs. The Cavs do play one more time against the Mavs later this season in Dallas, but if you're going to kind of cherish Dirk like we cherished Dwayne coming back not too long ago, this is the game to do it. So thing number two, though, how do the Cavs deal with Luka and really cherish Luka? Because this is what a stud young player looks like. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear from one Larry Drew, and then we're going to be back with more Locked On Cavaliers.
How'd Kevin respond today?
Pretty well. Yeah. Pretty well. Yeah, he it was a non-contact practice. You know, he participated in everything we did. He was moving around very well. So he looked really, really good. So we'll just see, you know, as I said before, we'll just kind of keep monitoring him and see how he is the day after.
How about David?
David participated as well. Still no timetable on his return. But the mere fact that he's out there and he's moving around is a good sign. So we'll wait and see, you know, when his timetable will be.
The fact that Kevin, I guess he felt fine today, that's a major step, right?
It's a big step. Yeah. You know, it's on a back-to-back practice where he has participated from start to finish. So he's he's moving in the right direction.
And we are back for the last segment of today's show. Again, looking at Cavs Mavericks. Again, number one, how does Jetty look? Number two, how does the team approach Luka Doncic? So we're going to talk just briefly, I think, about the Cavs injuries and sort of the situational issues this leaves them in. So on Saturday, here are the players the Cavs are going to continue to be without. That is, one, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, David Nwaba, John Henson, and J.R. Smith-Avili is not with the team. Basically, I think we're heading to a situation where I wonder sort of what type of lineups we can really expect to get from Larry Drew and what he can do to be a little bit different against a team like Dallas, who the Cavs are in a position where they should be the team with more healthy bodies, which is odd because of all the guys that will not likely be available for Dallas. As I record this, that's a team that has no Tim Hardaway Jr., who they got from the Knicks, no Trey Burke. Luka, again, questionable. They obviously just traded away Dennis Smith. J.J. Barea is already out for the year. They lost their starting center because they traded DeAndre. Like, there's just a lot of things in flux with Dallas. And can the Cavs take advantage of that when they don't have a lot of the guys that are stabilizing for them? That being said, I do think you could see some interesting things in this game just because Larry Drew might have to get a little bit creative. The Cavs tend to be a bit of a smaller, leaner team based on how they're constructed. When you look at this roster, you obviously have guys like Burks, guys like Hood that are 6'7", 6'8 feet tall. Jetty is a legit 6'8". He's a taller kind of guy, but they're not stronger guys. Even Jordan Clarkson has some size to him. He's not a small guard necessarily by any means, but you look at this whole roster, no one is really sort of a big wing. When you look at Dallas, Harrison Barnes, for whatever you think of him, is a strong guy. He's going to get some post-ups inside on Rodney Hood, and he should have some good success there. Luka, a very strong guy as a rookie, has gotten into much better shape, is, again, really skilled inside. And look, Ante Zizic, even, he's not the most physical guy, but going against Majiri, he is maybe going to be a little smaller there, and how does he handle that strength disadvantage? But again, this Cavs team is deeper. Dallas is on the road. Can they just look a little fresher in this game, and what does that matter? And on that same note, like, can they just sort of keep up some of the good habits we've seen them have the last couple games out? They've moved the ball well. It's been crisp. They haven't necessarily given up some of the dumb shots we've seen them give up in certain situations. That has been a real thing that has changed, and I think that's a really positive thing in general for this Cavs team. So how do all these factors sort of end up being a real thing? And I do think the lineups we see in this game will be interesting. I don't necessarily know what the options are for Larry Drew. I don't necessarily believe that there are a lot of things that he can do to really alter what he has in front of him. This could be a Jaron Blossom game useful situation. I don't even know how many days he has left, but he has the size to maybe help you out a little bit in this game, at least for one night, even though I haven't seen much of him lately. But when you have guys like Hood and Burks and Ojedi, like, the windows are your 2 through 4, they have the height, they have, you know, the length to some degree, but they're not going to be quite as strong as Dallas. And so what does Larry Drew do there to sort of counteract that? And again, this is a Dallas team that doesn't have just a lot of guys. It's going to be one of those transition games. Can the Cavs take advantage of that? I don't really know. I don't know if this is a team that has proven capable of doing that this season. I would feel more comfortable with it if, you know, frankly, if they just had a healthy Kevin Love to run things through and to provide that offensive structure that we don't really see them having right now, that they are trying to build a little bit right now, and that's why you're seeing Jordan Clarkson coming off screens more and more. If they had that, I would feel more comfortable picking them. I did pick them in my Fearless Sword preview, which you can read up at Fearless Sword right now, but that's being a bit optimistic, frankly. But it should be an interesting game. It should be a very telling game about where this Cavs team sort of is at actually right now. They've won two in a row, but can they make it three? Can they continue those good vibes? And again, this is one of the very last games before the trade deadline. They play then Tuesday at home against the Boston Celtics, and we will not see them play again until after the All-Star break, until they play the Friday, Saturday back-to-back in D.C., and then in Indiana a week from today. So basically, I would also just say that, you know, unless Kevin Love miraculously plays, Nwaba miraculously plays, the guys that are most likely to go are Hood or Burks. Those are the guys most likely to be shipped out. It would be very shocking to me if Kevin Love was dealt in any way at the All-Star break, just because no one has seen him play. And that would be a big risk. And I think he's going to fall in that Marc Gasol, perhaps Mike Conley class, I think structurally at this point, because no one's going to see him play, and then we'll see if someone wants him after they miss out on free agents come the summertime. That I think is where we are with that as well. So I think you will get to see Kevin Love. It's not going to be tomorrow. Has practiced twice in a row, but we'll see if he comes back on Tuesday against Kyrie and the Celtics. But that is going to be it for today's show. If you haven't already, please go check out yesterday's show with Trevor Magnotti talking about Jarrett Culver, talking about the Texas Tech wing and what he could offer the Cavs. We're going to be back tomorrow with a recap of Cavs-Mavs, getting you the good and the bad and the sights and the sounds from that game. Check out all of the game coverage over at Fear the Sword. Again, go find this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Support the show on Apple Podcasts with a 5-star review. Find it on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. Me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. If you want your mailbag questions answered, and specifically of draft mailbag questions for myself and Trevor, you can submit those to lockedoncavs@gmail.com or to @lockedoncavs. It may not be this upcoming Friday, but perhaps the next Friday, it will be an all mailbag draft show with me and Trevor. But we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Recap of Cavs Mavs. Enjoy tonight's game. 7:30 tip in Cleveland. Enjoy Luka. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good Saturday.